That's a pretty heavy load. Last fall, like a lot of us, I filled out a faith promise pledge. And last month came time to honor that pledge. And my mind was just filled with all kinds of reasons why I shouldn't keep that pledge. Some of them pretty noble, like, you know, Lord, wouldn't it be more honoring if I was using this to kind of pay down my debt a little bit, you know? Anyway, I wrote that check. And the very next day, I got a letter in the mail from a mortgage company. And my stomach did the little knot trick, you know, because it wasn't payment time. And it's never good when they communicate with you outside of that. I opened it up, and it's a escrow review time. And, oh no, you see, God, I told you I needed that, and you didn't. And because rates, you know, things aren't going down. But you know what happened? My mortgage payment went down by nearly exactly the amount of my pledge. Now, your mileage may vary. Meaning, if you try this at home, you probably already have tales of better blessings than that to tell me about. But your mileage may vary. But one thing that won't vary is God's care.
Amen.
God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Can you hear me? I think I'm going to preach a message on that. Your mileage may vary. It's a good sermon title. Results not typical. Well, we're in Acts chapter 28. That's not what I'm preaching on tonight. Acts chapter 28, in verse 1. Acts 28, verse 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Then all the way to the very end of that book, Acts 28, verse 1, the Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Tonight I'd like to preach on this subject, the snake, the shake, and the mistake. The snake, the shake, the mistake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Lord, I pray that you'll take your word and, Lord, use it in the hearts of our people. God, I pray that you'll help me to say only what needs to be said. And Lord, help me not to go any longer or any shorter than what you'd have for us tonight. Lord, help me, God, Lord, guide me, Lord, and help me to say what needs to be said, Lord. Help me to be clear. And Lord, I pray that that you'll speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just to give you a little introduction into the story and into Acts chapter 28. In Acts chapter 27, you read about a great storm that had come. And Paul is, of course, prisoner, and they're on their way, and he's going to prison. And, excuse me. And as they're on their way, they decide to go ahead and set sail, even though Paul says, no, we really shouldn't go. There's a big storm coming. They even named the storm called Euroclydon. And the Bible says there in verse 14 of chapter 27, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And this great wind battered the ship, and the people were afraid. And of course, at sea with this big storm that had hit the ship, and Paul said, I told you, we shouldn't have left. But since we did leave, since we did set sail, even in this big storm, he said, he says it in verse 23. He says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. He said, God said the ship's going to break up, but everybody that's on the ship's going to survive. And he said, I'm just going to believe God. He said, I told you we shouldn't have left. I told you we should have sat it out and waited for the storm to go by. But since we did set sail, don't worry about it. I believe God. And he said, every one of us on this ship, over 200, the Bible says, every one of us that's on this ship is going to survive. The ship's going to break up, be bashed and scattered in pieces all along the shore. But everybody that's on the ship, will survive, and they'll live. And he said, I believe God. And then later on in the chapter, in verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, these sailors were afraid, and they wanted to abandon ship and get in the little ships, you know, and the lifeboats, and try to get away and get to shore. Paul says in verse 31 to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. He said, stay here. Stay with the boat. You know, when you're going through a storm, you got to see it through. You got to believe God and trust God. But then you got to stay in the ship, see it through, and get through that storm. And God's going to take care of you, just like my dad sang about. And he's going to get you through that storm. And this is what Paul had gone through. He said, abide in the ship, and you cannot, and except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And finally, the ship is bashed into pieces. And the Bible says in verse 41, falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. That's what God said would happen. God said, you stay on the ship, you'll be saved. The ship will be broken up, but everybody on the ship will be saved. And sure enough, right there in verse 44, they escaped all safe to land. Paul said, I believe God. What a great storm they had gone through. What a great story. And see how God will take care of us and get us through that storm. What a great God that we have that will help us if we just see it through and just stay true to God and keep on keeping on. But the story's not over, because now we come to chapter 28, and the Bible says when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness and kindled a fire. So these barbarians said, come on, welcome, welcome, it's raining, let's start a fire. So they started a fire, and Paul got out of the ship, and he got right back to work, and he got right back trying to serve people, and he got bit by a snake. Viper fastened himself to his hand. And by the way, something that I'm thinking about, you do your work with your hands, and the snake in this bundle of sticks fastened to Paul's hand, trying to keep his hand from the work. Maybe we can apply that. The devil wants to keep our hands from the work. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this snake fastened himself. You know, while he was going about doing good, a viper got him. A snake got him. And sometimes while we're going about doing good, a snake tries to get us. And tonight we're going to talk about the snake, the shake, and the mistake. Maybe we can remember it a little easier because it rhymes. But number one, the snake. And if I was preaching this to the children like I did at the chapel service last week, I'd have everybody stick their tongue out like a snake, but I won't because we're adults. Verse 3 says, when Paul had gathered the bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, I always tell the young people that when you read the Bible, there's one interpretation and many applications. And the Bible means what it says. And so the Bible here, there's no fancy, spooky interpretation. The Bible means Paul had a pile of sticks in his hand, and when he put them in the fire, a snake came out and bit him. That's it. That's my wonderful interpretation of God's word in Acts chapter 28 and verse 3. And everybody can get that if you just read it and read the Bible and see what it says. That's what it says. But there are many applications. Many applications. We're talking about a snake here. There's a snake that bit Paul. And God uses a snake to describe many people. Jesus in Matthew 23 verse 33 calls the Pharisees and the religious leaders vipers, a generation of vipers. Calls them serpents. And how'd you like to be called a snake? Brother Joe asked me what I was preaching on, and I told him the snake, the shake, and the mistake, and I said, I don't wonder which one you are. And I don't know what he said. I don't remember what he said. Something about, I don't know if you're the snake, or, and he doesn't have much shake left in him. I think that's what he said. You're not a mistake, though. But Jesus called these religious leaders vipers. But who I think that we can apply this story to more closely is the devil. The devil. The first time we see the devil, he's a serpent. He appears to Eve as a snake. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1 that the serpent was more subtle, craftier, sneakier than any other animal, any other creature in the garden. And he came up, and we know the story. He came up and he said to Eve, take the fruit, it'll be all right. No, Eve said, no, God said that we would surely die. We can't even touch it. Well, God didn't say you couldn't touch it, but she was all confused because the snake had deceived her. And so we see that that's what the devil's all about. The devil's all about that. We see in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus calls the devil the father of liars. So you're the father of lies. That's what the devil tries to do, is deceive us and trick us into following him and not following the Lord. And so the devil is described as a snake. He's also described in 1 Peter chapter 5 as a roaring lion. We'll get to that some later on. But here, he is a snake. And the snake is out to get you. He's out to get me. And one time I was going to be preaching on 1 Peter chapter 5. Obviously not this passage, but 1 Peter chapter 5 where he talks about the roaring lion. And I was up late, really late one night studying. And Gracie woke up. And she came in the living room, and her hair was sticking around here like the mane of a lion. There was a lion walking about in my kitchen, seeking whom she may devour. I'm studying about the devil as a roaring lion. Gracie, you're not a devil. You're an angel. Okay. Acts chapter 28. The serpent is sneakier. The devil is sneaky. and he'll sneak in and get you. We're talking about the snake. The snake, the shake, the mistake. The snake is going to try to get you. And I just did some study quickly on some vipers and their habits. And, you know, most snakes won't bite you unless you sneak up on them. You know, if you're walking in the woods or you're digging somewhere and you stumble upon the snake, he just wants to protect himself, and so he'll strike and try to get you. And so there are a few ways, a few times that I thought of that maybe the devil tries to get you. He'll try to get you when you're tired. You ever been real tired? Just don't feel like fighting the battle anymore. Just don't feel like it, Lord. I'm tired. I just want to lay down and go to bed and not worry about any of this. Well, the devil's going to be right there, and he's going to try to discourage you, try to get you, and he will if you're not careful. He'll try to get you when you've experienced a great victory. We see that here in the Apostle Paul's life. The snake got him. He just seen a great victory. He believed God, and they got through that storm, Euroclodon, landed on the island. Snake got him right after victory. You ever make a big decision at a Bible conference or a revival meeting? You ever do that? Big decision? Maybe at youth camp. Make a big decision, and as soon as you get home that night or the next day or that weekend, the devil's already on you. Already on you. I know when I was a teenager at youth camp, there was a boy who, he was just not a good guy. Not a good guy at all. He had a bad mouth and all the way around, he was just not a good guy. And he got right with God, we thought, at youth camp. Made a decision he was going to rededicate his life to the Lord. And on the bus ride home from Tennessee, or Georgia, wherever it was, on the bus ride home, he started back in with the foul mouth and not being, on the bus ride home, just had a great victory. Now, I don't know if he had really rededicated his life or not. That's between him and the Lord. All I know is he said he did, and then on the bus ride home, the devil got him. The devil got him. He had a bundle of sticks. Viper. Got him. He'll try to get you when you experience a great victory. He'll also try to get you when you're trying to do right. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. When you were praying this morning, did you fall back asleep? Anybody ever pray sometimes and you fall asleep? Yeah, I've done that. Anybody ever been reading your Bible? And when you get done reading the chapter you're reading, you don't remember what you read because your eyes kind of glazed over and you just read it? Yeah, the devil's after you when you're trying to do good. When you're trying to do good. We have activities over here sometimes for the kids, and the field day is one that always gets me. Trying to do good, and then the devil gets me, and I get impatient with those kids, and I lose it. What, Brother Chris? Yeah, I lose it. The devil tries to get us when we do good. I won't go into any more detail. Now, if you're not trying to do right, and you're doing wrong, then he's already got you, so he doesn't have to worry about it. Right? He doesn't have to worry about it. You say, the devil doesn't bother me. Well, then you should worry about that. If the devil's not bothering you, then something's wrong. You need to start trying to do right. You need to experience a great victory in your life. And if the devil's not after me, then I want to know how come he's on my side. I don't want to be on his side. And the devil, he'll come after us when we're tired. And I'll be honest with you, I'm tired right now, and I'm struggling. I don't know if you can tell. You can probably tell. I'm tired, and so pray for me. When we're tired, when we've experienced a great victory, when we're trying to do right, when we're not paying attention, you know, oh, well, it'll be all right. I'm not going to read my Bible today. I'm just going to coast on through. I'm not going to worry about it. I'll be fine. I'm not going to be sober. Be vigilant. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 when Peter calls the devil a roaring lion. In verse 8, he says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is going to try to get you when you're not sober, when you're not vigilant, when you're not every morning reading your Bible, every morning praying, every morning doing the things you ought to do. And we struggle when the devil is after us. And when we don't, we just kind of have that lackadaisical attitude, you know, we just don't care. We kind of get apathetic. Ignorant and apathetic. I don't know and I don't care. And we get that way, and the devil is going to get us. He's always after us. Always. So that's the snake. We might be out of here before 7 o'clock. Everybody said amen. That's the snake. Now the shake. Now the shake. Back in Acts chapter 28. The end of verse 3, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And verse 5, here it is, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. The snake jumped out of that bundle of sticks and fastened itself to Paul's hand, bit him, got him on the hand, and he shook him off. He shook him off. Now, there are three things that we fight as Christians. We fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I had a teacher in Bible college. He preached a sermon one time, and he talked about the flesh. But he said, I don't know that many of us have battled the devil. I mean, we try to blame things on the devil and say, well, the devil's after me. And that may be true. But he said, most people really haven't fought the devil or the world. The world's not out to get us and the world's system, you know. But he said, we all battle the flesh. All of us battle the flesh. And he said, most of our problems could probably be attributed to the flesh. But if that's true or not, the point is we're all in a battle. And the devil is after us. And whether he's going to use himself or the world or our flesh, whatever he's going to use something to try to get at us. We've already seen that. The snake, we got to shake him off. Just shake him off. Resist him. Shake him off. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. First, you have to submit to God. I could ask you this question. How many of you, if you knew you were in a fight with the devil, and you were about to duke it out with the devil, how many would win? Nobody? No. Me neither. Me neither. I wouldn't win if it was just me versus the devil. The devil's stronger than I am. But when I submit to God, I can resist the devil. When I submit to God, I can resist the devil. I have to yield my life to God, put myself in God's hands, yield to His power, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God will take me through it. And then we'll defeat. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Greater is He that is in you. There was a gospel quartet singing one time, and a guy gave a testimony. He said, greater is He that is in me than he that is in you. That's not how the verse goes. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And when we get on God's side and submit ourselves, yield ourselves to God, then we'll be able to resist the devil. The word resist there means withstand. We can stand up to him when he comes at us. When he tries to strike us, we can stand up to him. And we can do it time and time and time again as long as we submit to God. Submit to God. Yield to him. Yield to him. Jesus quoted God's word. If you look in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. You see that? Three times the devil tried to get the Lord. Now, hey, Jesus was tired. Jesus was hungry. He hadn't eaten, had anything to drink. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. How many of you ate breakfast this morning? I did, a little bit, a cup of coffee. How many had lunch? Yeah, me too. Good lunch. How many are hungry right now? Yeah. Imagine 40 days and 40 nights of what you feel right now. That's where Jesus was at. And the devil came at him three times. If you're the Son of God, then do this. If you're the Son of God, then do this. And all of this can be yours if you will just bow to me. And Jesus said three times, it is written, it is written, it is written. He quoted Scripture. He quoted Scripture to God, to the devil. He quoted Scripture to the devil. That's how he resisted. And when the devil comes at us, we can throw the Scripture right back at his face. Right back at him. We can throw James 4:7 back at him. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And then what does the Bible say in Matthew 4? In verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. He'll give up after a while. He'll come back, but he'll give up. He'll give you a break. The devil is after us. And if we submit ourselves to God, trust God and surrender to him, then we can defeat the devil. We can resist him. We can stand up to him. And I think it was Lester Roloff. I'm not sure. He would say, just tell the devil to go on back to hell where he came from. And we can stand up to the devil and just resist him. Resist him. Throw the Scripture back into his face. When he says, you're not saved. I know you prayed a prayer, but are you sure you really prayed? And are you sure you're really saved? You can say, well, wait a minute, devil. The Bible says in 1 John, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And you say, I'm saved. I've got the Holy Spirit. I know it. You can throw the Scripture back in his face. When the devil throws up anything, I'll tell the kids, when the devil tries to tell you not to obey and not to clean your room like mommy and daddy say, then they can look at the devil and they can say, the Bible says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And they can say that, and God will help them. I memorized or had to learn to teach Vacation Bible School. We learned about the armor of God. And while I was driving around one day, the devil was trying to get me, and I just rehearsed the armor of God in my head, and the devil left me alone. We all have stories like that, how we fought the devil. You know, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not fulfill the lust thereof, the lust of the flesh. I know that's not exactly how it goes, but you get the point. We just quote Scripture. And if we're going to do that, now, I don't know I don't know about you guys, but do you guys always have your Bible with you everywhere you go? I mean, some of us don't have our Bible with us at 24/7 right by our side. So if we're going to resist the devil, we have to hide his word in our heart. We have to hide God's word in our heart. If we're going to resist the devil, that means we got to read it. We've got to obey it. We've got to memorize it, meditate on it daily. And we can resist the devil. So we've got the snake and the shake. The snake jumped out of the pile of sticks and fastened on Paul's hands, and Paul shook him off. In junior church, we did the snake shake. We shook him off. We won't do that here. We already did the love lifted me dance. It's a craze sweeping independent Baptist churches across America, the snake shake. Kind of like the Macarena. Back in Acts chapter 28. By the way, 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We trust God. He's going to get us through all these things. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So the snake, the shake, and now the mistake. The mistake. There were two mistakes that were made. And back in verse 4, when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. That's mistake number one. Mistake number two is in verse 6. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. First they said, uh-oh, the snake got him, he's dead. He's going to die. I know he survived the sea, but don't worry about that. The snake got him. This viper got him. He's dead. He's done. He's just forget about it. He's just going to lay there and die. Then he didn't die. And they said, whoa, he didn't die. He's a god. Little g. Let's worship him. Let's worship this god. Two mistakes. Paul wasn't done for when he got bit by the snake, and Paul wasn't a god. Right? That's what the Bible says right there. I mean, he talks to him. He said, you're a god. No, wait, he's not a god. He said, you're going to die. But he didn't die. two mistakes the barbarians made. There are two mistakes that we make. One, we think if the devil gets us, that we're done. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. Every one of us can think back to when we've fallen. Some of us can think back to when we've just run headlong into sin. We just say, go ahead, devil, get me. You got me. But all of us are here. We've gotten right with God. It's a mistake to think if the devil gets you, that you're done. It's a mistake to think that there's something you've done that's so bad that God's grace can't cover it, that the blood of Jesus can't cover it. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. 1 John chapter 1, you guys know these verses. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Not some of it. Not on a scale of 1 to 10, he'll cleanse you from anything from 1 to 5, but anything from 6 to 10, you're on your own. No, he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's a mistake to think that if the devil gets you one time, that you're done. It's a mistake. You're not dead. You're not done. Now, if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Bible says that you will spend eternity separated from God in hell. That is the one time, the one thing that means it's over. But as long as there's life, there's hope. And as long as God is still on his throne, if we're saved, then we've got somebody who's going to plead our cause. We've got somebody who's going to take care of us, and our sin can be forgiven. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 1, 1 John 2, 1, the Bible says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. I don't want you to sin, John says. That's why I'm writing you these things. I don't want you to sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate. If we sin, if we do, I don't want you to. And we shouldn't want to. Adrian Rogers says, I sin all I want to. I don't want to. That's what he says. And I sin all I want to. I don't want to. I sin more than I want to. But if I do sin, when I do sin, I have an advocate. I have somebody pleading my cause before the throne of God, standing for me. And when the devil, who is accusing me, says, look what you did. Look, God. Look what Chris did. I saw it. I saw it. Jesus says, wait a minute. It's under the blood. The blood covered it. We have an advocate with God, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Someone to plead our cause. That's great. Think about that. Think about that for a while. Anybody sin after you get saved? Yeah? I did. Once. Once a day. All right, more than once a day. We all have. We've all sinned. Even after we got saved. And every time we've had an advocate pleading our cause. Every time. Every time. God is good. Even though that snake is out to get us, if we shake him off, don't make the mistake. The devil gets you. You're not done. There's examples all throughout the Bible. All throughout the Bible. John Mark traveled with Paul and Barnabas. And then he got homesick and left the ministry. Barnabas and Paul had a great, they fought about it. They had a great dispute about it, a disagreement. Then they agreed to disagree. They went their separate ways. And Paul took Silas and Barnabas went on his way. But later on in Paul's ministry, he said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable unto me for the ministry. Mark turned his back on God. The devil got him. The devil got him. But he wasn't through. At the end of his life, at the end of Paul's life, Mark was profitable to Paul. That's good. Jonah turned his back on God. He was supposed to go to Nineveh. He didn't go to Nineveh. He went to Tarshish. But God got a hold of him in the belly of a whale and gave him a second chance. And he went to Nineveh and preached. People got right with God. If you get bit by the snake, it's not over for you. That's the mistake. That's the first mistake they made. Oh, you're dead. If you get bit by the, oh, you're dead. Just forget it. You get caught by that snake, then just stay home from church. Don't worry about coming because you're through. But no, that's a mistake. There's always restoration. As long as there's life, there's hope, and God will get you back. And you can get right with God. Another example is Lot. We talked about him a few weeks ago when I preached. Lot, after they fled Sodom, they were in the cave and had that horrible relationship with his daughters. But then the Bible says, just Lot. That doesn't mean only Lot. It means Lot was just. He was righteous. He had gotten right with God. Imagine that. What a terrible sin he had committed with his daughters. But he got right with God, and he was just Lot, righteous Lot. There's always hope. We have that advocate. The second mistake we make is we think we're invincible. Oh, I'm a god. The devil can't get me. No way the devil can get me. You know, I go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I hear enough of God's word. I'm all right. I don't need to read the Bible every day. I don't need to, pray and spend time with God. I don't need to memorize scripture. I'll be all right. Devil, gonna get you. We're not invincible. We're not gods. We're not gonna make it without the Lord's help. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Remember, one of the ways that snake gets you is when you're just wandering around not paying attention. You're not sober, you're not vigilant. The snake will get you. He'll get you. We're not invincible. We're not gods. Oh, if we do sin, we have an advocate. If we do sin, we'll be all right because we can confess our sins and he'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we're not gods. We're probably going to sin. More than likely, we're going to sin. That's the second mistake we can make. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners, and most of us would say he was probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. Wrote most of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he said he was the chiefest of sinners. And the snake got him. We're not invincible. That's a mistake we make. Some of these young people, they think, oh, I'll be all right. I don't need church. I'll be fine. I'm just going to go and sow my wild oats right now, and then I'll get back right with God later on. Wait a minute. I can tell you about some teenagers that, now they were living for God. I went to Bible college with them. You know them, the quartet from Crown. They were here, and then they were on their way to another church, and were in that horrible wreck, and all five of them instantly killed and in heaven. All five of them, and none of them older than 25. All of them, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, right around in there. I was friends with all five of them. Been to one of their houses in West Virginia. His two brothers were in my dorm when I was a resident assistant. Great family. And his 19, 20, 21-year-old, two of them had barely been married a year. Boom, into heaven. We're not invincible. We're not promised tomorrow. So we need to be right with God today. We need to be right with God now, even now. That snake is out to get us. There's a snake. We need to shake him off. And then there's the mistakes that we can make. The snake, the shake, and the mistake. Back in Acts chapter 28, the devil is going to get us. There's no question about it. The devil is going to get us. We're going to sin. We're going to sin. And when that devil gets us, when the snake bites us, we just need to shake him off, get right back to serving God. Just one more and I'm through. Acts 28, verse 7. The Bible says, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. He got right back to work. See that? He got bit by the snake, shook him off, got right back to work. Just got right back after it. Excuse me. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. So he healed Publius, his father. He healed his father, laid his hands on him and healed him. Then others also which had diseases in the island, they came and they were healed. who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, now they're at it, they're constantly at it, for 3 months we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. They didn't stop, did they? He didn't kick his feet back. I got bit by a snake. Wait a minute. The venom is in me. I got to take a break. No, he healed people. Obviously, we know the Lord healed the people through Paul. But then we go to verse 20. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you. Paul is talking. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. He's speaking to the Jewish leaders. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. All day long, he gave them the gospel, told them about Jesus, morning to evening. That snake didn't stop him. The snake got him on the hand, but he kept at it. He healed people, and he preached the gospel, told people about the kingdom of God. Verse 24, and some believed the things which were spoken, some believed not. When they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, go unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. He's preaching, isn't he? And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding. You got the snake. Paul got bit by that snake. He shook him off. He didn't make the mistake. He didn't say, I got bit by that snake, I'm through, I'm dead. And he didn't make the mistake, and he didn't think that he was a god. But he kept pointing others to the one true God, to Jesus Christ, to the end of his life. He preached the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And he says at the end of his life, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's Paul. The snake didn't stop him. And the snake shouldn't stop us. There is a devil, and he is out to get us. Peter again calls him a roaring lion. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. And he says, resist, therefore, steadfast in the Lord. Don't move. Stand up to him and don't move. There's a snake. We got to shake him off. Don't make the mistake. If he got you, get right with God. And if he hasn't gotten you yet, but he's after you, don't think that he can't. The snake, the shake, and the mistake. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Lord, thank you that there is forgiveness for our sins. Lord, thank you that there is grace. A grace abounding, Lord. Lord, thank you that we have an advocate with our Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Lord, I pray that when the devil does come after us, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to resist him. Help us to stand. Shake him off.